Have you ever wondered what the sounds of electromagnetic waves from planets and stars sound like? Well, you're about to meet one third of the Ephemera trio, Keena Wilkins, who is the composer, flautist and pianist behind their debut recording Orbits and Riffs. Keena Wilkins, welcome to Now's the Time.
Hello, thank you for having me.
With international classical training at Bristol Uni and Bath Spa in the UK, Hildesheim Uni in Germany, and postgraduate composition at the Sydney Conservatorium, we've branched into jazz, experimental live theatre, flamenco fusion and improvisation. Keena, tell me about your musical background. Do you come from a musical family, and who were your main influences?
My family appreciated music, and they definitely encouraged music lessons, which was great. Neither of them were musicians as such. I know that Mum would often say that she really wanted piano lessons when she was younger, but she came from a family of five, and post-war period money was very scarce, so they couldn't afford lessons for the whole family. But she always had a fascination with it. So that was one of the main things that she did for me and my sister. And they definitely appreciated music, and we went to a whole variety of styles of concerts when we were younger, from classical to jazz and lots of things.
So she sounds like she was really your main early influence in becoming interested in music.
I guess so, yeah, for sure. I was always interested in jazz and improvisation, but I mainly had classical lessons, like I think a lot of people did, you know, in the kind of 80s and 90s. I was always interested. And I remember when I was about 18, I just started just trying to do some free improvisation and really enjoyed it, and kind of taught myself some of the basics of jazz. And then when I was studying in Hildesheim in Germany, it was part of an exchange program from Bath Spa, but I managed to get some jazz piano lessons from a German jazz pianist called Oliver Gross. He was very inspiring. I used to watch him play as well, and he was incredibly disorganized as a teacher, but he was just a fantastic player, and he was almost anti-theory, which is actually what I actually wanted to learn from him. But it was, you know, his attitude was very basically do whatever you want.
A laissez-faire attitude.
Totally, yeah. Like, he'd turn up half an hour late and just, which is very un-German, just encourage me to do whatever I wanted. And he would just, every lesson, be saying, right, write a new piece. So, yeah, and I found him very inspiring as a musician. He had a trio. And, I also had Tibetan flute lessons from somebody in Sydney, which I've suddenly forgotten the name of him, but he was a Tibetan flautist, bamboo flautist in Sydney, and I remember him telling me that when he improvised, he would start off basically imagining he was a little bird, and then just play like one little fragment of a melody. And then as the bird took flight, he would add more fragments to the melody.
Really?
And then keep coming back to that central fragment. And to be honest, that whole concept, I feel that I've been holding on to that since then.
What a great story.
Yeah.
He was from Tibet, was he?
He was, yeah. I had two lessons with him, I think, when I was 18. Yeah. And he didn't believe in money either. He refused to let me pay him.
Something like that is great to hang on to, isn't it? Because
students right now.
Yeah.
It's such a simple idea. But it's really effective.
Google tells me that the word ephemera is derived from the Greek ephemeros, meaning lasting only one day or short-lived. Now that you've recorded and are about to launch this double album, this audio ephemera is going to be around for a long time.
Very true.
Tell me the thinking about the trio's name.
Yes, that is a very, very good question. It started off as totally free improvisation, and right at the beginning it had a little bit of the space kind of aspect, but a lot of it was improvising. In fact, me and Will and Elson started out as a basically a totally improvised trio where we would improvise to live film, silent films.
Uh-huh.
We did that out at Shush Centre for Hybrid Arts out in Parramatta. Okay. On a kind of semi-regular basis. That's kind of how we started. So I guess the idea of, things just being around for a brief moment and then going, fits in with the improvisation idea. So that's kind of where I started out in my thinking, improvising to space sounds. And then it kind of evolved from there. But I think, that was the main basis, the reason for that initially. And then more, quite structured pieces kind of took hold and seemed to work really well. So, it's a mixture of both now.
Yeah, and you've stuck with the name and it's it works.
A lot of people ask that, though. It has a lot of different meanings, that word. It's also got some kind of meaning relating to amoeba at the bottom of waterways.
Now, as I mentioned at the top, the backdrop of this recording includes NASA recordings of electromagnetic waves from planets and stars. How did this concept come about? So, and how did you go about obtaining this sort of audio? I would have thought it'd be pretty hard to get a hold of.
I've always had an interest in astronomy. I saved up for a telescope when I was 13 and spent all my savings on it. Unfortunately, then it was stolen 2 years later. But I did get some use out of it. So it's always been an interest of mine, but I didn't... physics wasn't my strong point. But I've always kind of been interested in a lot of the ideas and things like that. And I guess over the last few years, I've been trying to find what my voice is as a composer and trying to really kind of dig deep and find what is my thing that I'm truly passionate about. And to be honest, I had an absolutely amazing supervisor at the conservatorium called Anne Boyd. And she really helped me find what it was that is really mine. She was my supervisor for... I think 3 years, and before she went on sabbatical and I had twins. When I started the course, I was trying to find things that I was interested in. So first of all, I started trying to develop the improvisation idea. And then I realized, the truth is that's been done so many times, and what can I really add to that? Like, musically, probably not that much. And then Anne Boyd was the one that actually said to me, I don't think that's your thing. Like, keep thinking about it. Scrap that, try something new. And she really helped me find it. She was fantastic.
What you were.
And then I realized, that is actually what I like, that is what I'm genuinely interested in. And I literally just did a Google search, because I suddenly thought there may be some space sounds out there. There may be something unique out there. And lo and behold, there was. And it was an astronomer based in Melbourne at ANU, and he has a space sound library available online on his website. And it says freely available to use as long as it's acknowledged. And I emailed him and I had discussions with him about what I wanted to do with it. And he was really keen. They're just so musical. They remind me of whale sounds. They're very, very beautiful to listen to. I actually just sit there and listen to them on their own sometimes. They're just naturally very beautiful. I mean, a lot of the time, as I'm sure you've noticed, they're quite closely related to the harmonic series. So they lend themselves very easily to music composition. A lot of the time you're going to hear like octaves and fifths and fourths coming in and out at different times. It's just in terms of music composition, I find that straight away it's very inspiring, and it just allows the creative juices to flow.
Titan Tango, tell us a little bit about this.
This is probably the most playful piece. Titan is the largest moon of Saturn, and it's probably quite uninhabitable for humans. And I just wondered what it would be like to dance on. That's pretty much it.
The other two-thirds of the trio, Keena Elson-Price, double bass, you've already mentioned, and Will Gilbert on the trumpet. You must have been looking for certain qualities when this particular trio came together. Tell us about the qualities in these two artists that you enjoy and that you feel really add something to this this trio that's tangible.
I've been working with Elson for a long time. We were working together in a free improvisation duo for a while, and what I really like is that he's up for pretty much anything at any time. He will do 5-hour improvisation gigs and everyone will be totally riveted every second of it. He's a master of classical music, he's a master of jazzy, but he's a master of pretty much anything folk gypsy, experimental, you name it, he can do it.
He's incredibly
passionate
about what he does. He certainly plays Arco beautifully, doesn't
he? Absolutely. And he's a great performer as well. A lot of these pieces were specifically written for him, certainly Craters of Rhea, which is for solo double bass. That was written with a lot of consultations with Elson, and so was Mars Part 1, 2 and 3. So, yeah, what I'm really interested in Elson is the fact that he pretty much has no limitations when it comes to technicalities. I've had other bassists that have looked at this piece and said, no, that's not possible. So that's how I know that he really
is. He's capable.
He really is. And he'll put in that extra work. And like I said, he'll perform it extremely well as well. And he can improvise for a very long time as well. So I think for me, it's about finding people who are nice people, number one. They're nice people to work with. And they understand the improvisation side of things. I mean, I feel I've come from a really eclectic background musically. So I just want to try and forget all the theory, really, and not try and kind of adhere to anything in particular, and just try and not think and just play.
So it's about learning the theory and then almost sort of unlearning
it.
Yeah,
definitely.
So what about Will and his trumpet playing?
Will has come from very much a jazz background. So he's a conservatorium jazz graduate, and he's in various jazz ensembles, Divergence Orchestra, all of that. And but he's also a very, very good improviser. But what I really enjoy about his sound is that he really plays with the tone colours, as I'm sure you've noticed. So he goes for this kind of soft, ethereal sound and like works with different elements of the trumpet sounds. It's sometimes, just kind of a kind of very light, mellow sound. And he's very, very good at blending. Mm-hmm. There's never any issues with the flute and trumpet. The trumpet overpowering the flute, for example, is because he's very kind of sensitive when he plays.
Yep.
And it's all about blending in with him. But then he's also capable of taking the lead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're in a trio setting too, it's almost the perfect setting for jazz, in that you're in this triangular situation where you're almost relying on someone to take the lead.
Yeah.
But the other two know when to hold back, and then they get their turn. But in a collective situation too, it almost doesn't become too overbearing if the three decide to take it forward and take that power to the piece.
Yeah, exactly. And we have moments like that. And I think a lot of the time, I think when you reach a certain point, it just becomes an extension of your personality. And I think as a trio, we have reached that point because we have actually been working together for maybe, two or three years now. Yeah, I think we've reached that point where we're just quite sensitive to each other. And like you said, nobody necessarily tries to take the lead for too long. Like there's an awareness there.
With this type of music, which is, it's got to be said, it can be challenging especially for people that that are going to a jazz gig, singing trumpet, double bass, and flute, and yet they're getting to experience this. So I guess where I'm coming with this is, where do you see the opportunities for this trio going forward? I can hear this music readily at a festival in Europe, but here in Australia, there are, I would have thought, only limited opportunities.
That's a very interesting question, and yes, it's a very good comment. Basically, I haven't thought that far. This is literally what I wanted to make right now, and I feel very, very fortunate that I have met the right people to make it with, that I feel comfortable enough with them, and I just wanted to make something that I wanted to hear and that I wanted to play. That's as far as I went. I got. But it has been suggested that it might be good in art galleries, and there are new music festivals all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. There's some pieces that are very lyrical and accessible, I like to think. And then, of course, there's other pieces that, you're right, they are more challenging. And certainly with the free improvised pieces, who knows what's going to happen with those.
Yeah, like,
and that's, some bits are great and other jazz. Bits are more challenging. Yeah. So
yeah.
And you never know what's going to happen until you get there.
Mm. I want you to just fill us in a little bit about this next piece, which is taken off the second disc. It's called Floating in Space.
I am a flautist, and it's a solo flute piece for flute and nebula. The nebula sounds were compiled by astronomer Dr. Paul Francis that I was telling you about before, and he's basically used electromagnetic waves from various nebula, put them through a spectrograph, and to make them audible. And they're very, very beautiful sounds. What I noticed when I listened to them was that the F was very prominent, the C was very prominent, because they're actual pitches. F was very prominent, C is very prominent, and sometimes the B natural. And basically, the sounds are incredibly calming, meditative. And I guess what I was trying to create with this piece was a kind of meditative, zen-like state, imagining that I was floating in space. It's actually one of the Zen meditations.
Okay.
It's imagining that you're dead floating in space, which I know is a little morbid, but it's also truth. Like, one day we will all be dead, and maybe we'll all be in space one day as well.
Kenny Wilkins, so, thanks very much for joining us.